The recording has started.
Good evening and welcome to An Hour with an Angel. I'm Steve Beckel, editor-in-chief of the Golden Age of Gaia, and with me today is Linda Dillon, author of The New You, The Great Awakening, and The Jesus Book, currently doing a course in core issues, which probably is very challenging, Linda, I would think. Is it?
Yeah, that is putting it mildly. Hi, Steve. Yeah, and in fact, as I was getting ready for today, I was thinking about, you know, this wonderful group that's working on the core issues and how it's sort of a reflection, actually, of the collective, because this group has been going great guns and really very early on breaking through some pretty major, heavy core issues, things that challenge us and prevent us from being the, you know, the fullness of who we are. So it's going well. It's going really well.
Very good. Well, I'm a member of it, of course, and a member in lurking. I have to remain somewhat quiet because I couldn't excite an email flow, but I mentioned to you earlier that I had a breakthrough. In that I recognized recently that I didn't have to be my negative thoughts, that I wasn't my negative thoughts. And previously I thought I was. I was cranky. That was it. But now I can actually stand aside from them because I know there's an alternative.
Exactly.
I can be in the alternative, stand aside from them, observe them, and let them pass. Well, for me, this is a huge breakthrough, which I thank you for. The Core Issues course.
I think the credit goes to the Council of Love. But it's interesting because we just had our most recent class on Saturday. So to hear this report from you is really good news, because one of the themes that we were talking about on Saturday is that your thoughts and your feelings or your core issues aren't you. They don't reflect and they don't define who you are as the core.
No.
They're just things floating in and out.
Well, you carry things in your wallet, right? That's mm-hmm. not you. And in a sense, you're carrying these negative thoughts. They're not you. And, it's liberating to have a cranky thought and not have to be cranky all day.
And you know what's really amazing, and boy, are you modeling this for all of us who are listening tonight, is that we are doing this work more than ever, and certainly the Core Issues Group, we're doing it for the collective, and we're creating new patterns of entrainment. So as you say, I don't have to do this, I don't have to be cranky simply because I had a cranky thought. Think of the millions of people that message and that energy is going out to. So bravo, my friend.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
No more cranky
uh-huh.
people at the grocery store.
Well, I can smile at people on the street now.
Mm-hmm.
And before, because my identity was at times being cranky or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. You know, I'd look at the ground and I'd say to myself, oh, I'm deep in thought, right? No, I can actually smile.
I'm deep in lies about who I am. Don't bother me.
Yeah, this is Halloween all year round.
That's right. I'm wearing my disguise and I love it.
And don't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, right. Don't you dare tell me otherwise.
No, life is a mask ball.
Yeah, and it's hard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's all God's fault, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my boy, what a deep hole we've dug for ourselves.
I tell you, as I was sitting here getting ready today, I was having this conversation with Archangel Michael, and he was saying that on the one hand, humanity, all of us, and I include myself in this, you know, waiting for heaven, the company of heaven, the council of love, however you conceive of that, we're all waiting for them to do something. And he's looking at me and he's saying, and we're all waiting for you to do something. I'm thinking, oh no.
Is that interesting?
Yes, it is.
Very interesting. And of course, there are people who are doing something. I mean, Kathleen keeps turning up one thing after another, after another, after another, that says that people are on the move.
People are on the move, and I think that's part of what Archangel Michael wants to talk to us about today in terms of action and inspiration, because, you know, we also tend to think that doing is like the grand gesture. You know, I healed hunger today.
But I saved the planet.
I saved the planet today. When in fact, it's this collection, like you just said, of instead of staring at the ground, I looked up and I smiled at people. And that has this, you know, exponential effect of such expansion that then we leap off the trampoline into, you know, bigger and bigger action.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like a watershed. We're then in motion, and maybe that's what we'll be talking about: how to get over the watershed, how to make that switch from there are no solutions and I can't do anything to oh no, yes I can. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't I let you make your transition, and we'll be welcoming Archangel Michael, who's going to be helping us with this. The questions that we have about how do we get going and what do we do, and also, I mean, I'm talking and Susie is talking and Linda is the voice of Archangel Michael, but most people can't do that. So how are other people who can't have direct access, or whatever the fashion is that we're having access can be called, how do they find out what to do in the months and years ahead? So welcome, Archangel Michael.
And welcome to each and every one of you. I am Michael. I am Mikael, Archangel of Peace, Warrior of Truth, Bringer of News, Brother and Friend, Ally, Sweet Angels of Light, Sweet Angels of Love. Inertia is not in your vocabulary. And I say this with the deepest respect and embrace and honoring of each and every one of you. Yes, as the light holder, love being, community that you are, stop doubting you. Stop feeling that you are not doing enough. And this comes from one who has been pleading, begging, urging, encouraging each and every one of you to move into action. You have, you are, you will. Heeding this call to action, each in your own beautiful, unique expressions of who you are. And might I say why you are here, in form, as angels on earth, regardless of your lineage, regardless from where you hail. You are actually in human form, more or less, and embodying not just yourself. And we know we repeat this again and again, but you are embodying the DNA, spiritual and otherwise, of our beloved Divine Mother. This is beyond remarkable, beyond phenomenal. And from the depth of your soul, from the depth of your design, from the depth of your core, we ask you I ask you on behalf of the Mother, Father, One, and all in existence, not only to recognize that, but to fully embrace it. Beloved beings, you are powerful. Now, there has been a pattern, and might we say, a necessary adjustment of shying away in this community, of shying away from this word that is so loaded, this word power. Because the false grids, paradigms, patterns of where humanity has traveled in the old third has been such an abuse of power, such an abuse of control, such an abuse of authority and leadership. And that is why we have changed the language to stewardship. But in fact, what is power? What is inspiration and even action? Power, in its truest sense, is the anchoring and the flow, both have need to be present, of your inspiration into action in alignment with divine heart, mind, will. In other words, it is your expression internally and externally of your divinity, of who you are, of how you allow, cooperate, and co-create with the energy of the divine, of what you think of as unseen, even though there are many examples and experiences of seeing, but there has been such a categorization that you no longer know or feel this. That is not a criticism. That is simply a fact. You are the generator. You are the actors. You are the implementers of divine inspiration, of creation, of the fulfillment of the mother's dream. Think of this. You have the leading role in this wonderful play. You have this leading role, and you are supported by your star brothers and sisters, by a cast, quite literally, of billions and zillions, of the company of heaven, by the archangelic realm, by the masters, the seraphim, and everything in between. And you are stepping forth. So I do not come this night to say, get moving. What I say to you is that you are doing phenomenal work. You are moving. You are assuming action. And I do not mean that you are simply sitting back. So often, in the human realm, and yes, even in the light worker realm, when we talk of action, you translate that in your mind to mean that you must get busy, that you must be doing. That is not always necessarily of truth. There are many expressions And there is an elongated process for what you think of as action. You do not simply go outside and decide to build a city of light without a blueprint, without ordering supplies, without making your plan and hiring your crew. So there are many pieces when we say that you are moving into action, and part of that is, of course, the planning stages, but part of that, precursor to that, and continuing through the entire process, is the element and the presence of inspiration. Now, there is a tendency, and that is why I have requested to come and to talk about this today with you, my beloveds. There's a tendency to think of inspiration as some kind of on-off switch, a light bulb that gets turned on, a lightning bolt from the divine into your heart and mind, and you think, ah, eureka, now I have it. Sometimes, occasionally, it is like that, but by and large, it is not. It is not limited to that. So that some of you are thinking, I am waiting for my inspiration, and in fact, it is already there. It is already present. It is already fully activated. And that you are moving towards, and you think, well, this is a little thought of what I can do. But in fact, it is the cooperation and you hearing what you are interpreting, and there is no problem in that, but what you are interpreting as your own thoughts or your own minuscule inspiration. Now, I do not want to suggest that every brilliant thought or move that you make is somehow given to you. But we are in this co-creation. We are in this cooperative phase. So it is not necessary for you to say, well, this is Michael's, this comes from the mother, this comes from Gabriel, this part comes from Saint Germain, and then there's this little piece that I am contributing. It is equal and it is blended. So part of your question, dear Steve, has been, how do those of you who feel that you do not have the full impact of hearing or seeing or knowing, how do you proceed? It is interesting, is it not? And perhaps even frustrating at moments, how repetitive we can be. Because, beloveds, this is a walk of trust. Now you say to me, and I hear many of you saying, oh, Michael, please do not tell us more that we just have to trust. But the answer is yes. The answer has always been yes. But also what we are asking of thee is not merely to trust the mother, which is beyond question, not merely to trust us who guide you, who point the way, and who comfort you and urge you on. This is also, sweet angels, trusting yourself that your knowing, your random thought, your big inspiration is correct. And that it isn't simply an errant thought. And do not confuse random thought with errant thought, because they are very different. That somehow you are misdirected because it was only your thought, it was only you dreaming pie in the sky. No. It is you. And I speak to your heart. It is you with the fullness of your divine authority and free will, trusting that you know exactly what to do, both in the very small daily steps, in the intermediate steps, and everything that follows in the terms of co-creating with us and with our allies, Nova Earth. And it doesn't begin with the grand gesture. It begins by you taking steps every moment of every day. Is that tiring? Actually, it is not. It will fuel you. My sister Gabrielle has been quite literally begging you for 10 minutes a day to fill you with joy. I wish I had thought of that. But if you allow yourself to be filled with the joy of what makes you not only happy but inspired, then each step will unfold in front of you. Now, dearest friend, where do you wish to begin this day?
Well, I think where I'd like to begin is to discuss how listeners who are in action, how they can, how that they can know even that inspiration is happening, never mind who is inspiring me. How do I know that this thought that I just had is an inspired thought? I get to talk to you, Susie gets to talk to you, Linda gets to speak you and talk with you, but all the other people don't. And so they don't have this ability to check out with you how things are going, etc. So how do they know when you're inspiring them? Or somebody else is inspiring them?
Well, we use many human vehicles. We use many environments and situations to catalyze inspiration. So let us back up.
Yes, could you discuss some of that so that they could get the wider picture? Thank you.
There are many of you who say, and, well, we will continue on, who say, I do not see, I do not hear, I do not know. That is a double-edged sword. That is putting yourself on the razor's edge. And that is a massive overstatement and assumption that in fact the way that we communicate is through the spoken word. Now we fully understand, and that is why we communicate this way, is to fill out the picture that the communication is spoken. But in fact, beloveds, about 90%, if you want to calibrate it in human terms, about 90% of our conversation is energetic and unspoken through the ages, but most certainly right now. People have come to accept the voices within their mind, within their heart, the brilliant idea that suddenly dawns out of supposedly nowhere. How do you know and I will bring you back to the mother's litmus test. Is it of love? Is your thought, your minuscule action, or your grand plan, does it feel like love? Now you say, well, you know, Mikhail, I'm not sure what love feels like. Sometimes it feels very amorphous and distant, and sometimes it feels too physical and too grounded to truly be divine love. Then I will take you to the next question, and that is, not even joy, does the thought or the energy that is within you and surrounding you, does it feel, if some of the obstacles and the wherewithal was removed or present, does it make you happy? Does it make you feel like that is a fabulous, wonderful thing to do? I would love to do that. When can I get started? It is not always massive. Very often what is occurring between our inspiration, the mother's inspiration, and we don't want you to really delineate, and your guides and guardian angels' inspiration, is given to you in many steps so that you don't feel overwhelmed. So let us explain. While we don't want you to feel powerless, because that is the last thing you have need of, or that we have need of you in our co-creative partnership, but we have the ability, particularly in individual situations, yes, on the global level too, but particularly in individual situations, to arrange, to move chess pieces, people, circumstance, situations, opportunities, so that they are made available to you in ways that feel either like synchronicity or planned events. Not all inspiration is something that you perceive as out of the ordinary. And that is what you tend to think, is that it is the lightning bolt. But very often, in fact, most regularly, it is the steady progression of the inflow from our side to you of energies that come as thoughts or impulses even, or inspiration. Stop making such rigid delineations. And then the outflow from you, either as thoughts or actions or a combination of both. Where the difficulties in this communication network tend to break down is when you either dismiss or refuse what is being sent to you. So, for example, you wake up and you have a free day. It is your day off. And while we strongly urge each and every one of you to take that day off to relax and play, let us say that on one day you say, you know, I've always been curious about that homeless shelter at the corner of 5th and Main, and how they operate and what they're up to and who they really serve. So I think I'm going to take an hour and just go check it out. That is an impulse, a thought, and an inspiration. We use that as an example that would be in alignment, for some, with their mission and purpose. And then all the human, what we would call debris, because it relates back to worth, comes in. Well, they don't know me. They don't know me at that homeless shelter. They're going to wonder what the heck I'm up to. Maybe they're not even going to let me in. Maybe they're going to think I'm some kind of crackpot. Besides which, I have to clean my car today. I have to go and have it vacuumed. And then there's groceries to do. So that's just a stupid idea. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to waste my time. And you have just canceled out the inspiration. Now think of it. If you are cooperating and you say, well, that's a wild idea. I never really thought about it. Or I've sort of wondered about this for ages, but I've never really had the time. But as it turns out, Archangel Mikael has made available for me today 4 hours of free time. And I'm not suggesting, dear hearts, that you have to give me credit for the free time, because you have co-created that. And then you follow the inspiration. And then we also arrange with you and for you that you arrive, and just the right people are there for you to meet and greet and chat with, and for you to observe the pain and suffering of what it means to be hungry and homeless. And then you have a thought and you say to the people that you are chatting with, well, what do you need? You know, I have a few hours a week. I have a full-time job and a family, but I have a few hours a week. Would you like me to just come and sit and chat with people? No, I am not a trained therapist. No, I am not a cook. I am just an open heart. Now, you know that what you are doing is you are volunteering to come and be the transmitter of love, of compassion, of support. You don't word it that way. And then you go, and it grows. And your mission for you, of course you are receiving the payoff, as you would think of it, of knowing you are doing good work, of forming new positive relationships. But you are also beginning to implement your mission and purpose. All of this, not because you heard my voice or saw me in a vision, but because you listened and trusted and followed through to what you may have termed a random thought, which was truly inspiration and the whispers of your heart. Do you understand what I say?
Yes, I do, Laura. So, really, you're suggesting that you are our GPS. And if we just relax and guide ourselves by it, that the desired outcome will, we can't ensure that the desired outcome happens, but it has its best chance of happening. Is that correct?
Mostly. So let us explain further. We enjoy this conversation. Because seldom do you really ask us how we work. First of all, your GPS is your heart, and certainly the seat of your soul. But can we say that we have input and program capacity? for your GPS. Some of you have had experiences with your GPS where it has not behaved or given you the perfect directions for where you think you want to go. And so sometimes you end up wandering through neighborhoods when you could have taken a 90-degree turn and gone directly there, and you are thinking, this is ridiculous. These meanderings are always perfect. Now you say to me, Mikhail, that the desired outcome may or may not happen. I wish to suggest to you, and let me say strongly suggest to you, and you all know what that means, is that the desired outcome always takes place. Can you imagine, beloved, what I am saying to thee? The desired outcome always takes place. And what do I mean by that? Because you have followed your heart. You have followed the GPS, and it may appear at various intervals that they have taken you on a scenic detour. The win, as it were, is in the following of your heart, because what you are doing is you are expanding your capacity, not just for trust, but for concrete, inspired, co-creative action. Now, sometimes there are intermediate steps, and you think to yourself, well, I must have been wrong. I must have misunderstood. That must have been just picking up on somebody else's energy. No. And we do not say no very often. Sometimes there are several steps, but the direction is always not only adequate, but the payoff, the expansion, is massive. Now, there are times when, for example, you would go to the homeless shelter and you would sit with these bereft souls, and then you would discover that one of them is either a veteran with PTSD or a huge empath who has been so jangled by the energy of the collective that they have not been able to function in what is termed normal society. Now you would think, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these homeless, but the intermediary step might be that in fact you are to work with veterans, or you are to work with empaths, and you are to teach them and show them how to proceed. So you may think, oh, this was a false start. But in fact, if you follow the thread that is woven into the tapestry of your being and your plan and the mother's plan, it is always correct. When it is not correct is when ego, which we respect and honor, but when it becomes the driving force. That is how you get off track. Not because of misinspiration, not because of mishearing, but because you allowed that part of yourself that wants to be in control and important to take over. Now, is that piece clear?
Yes, it is, Lord. Excuse me. I just want to mention that I have a question from a reader, which I'm not sure it ties in directly with what you're saying, but it is on in the same area. And I'm hoping we can leave 5 or 10 minutes at the end of the program to direct ourselves to that question. And just for now, I'd like to return to what you said about trust. In my family, on the part of my dad, trust was broken so often that I can remember myself just feeling more and more beaten down in the area and not really rising to trust any longer after a certain point. And people in general, I think, have seen their governments break trust with them so often. It's a bit of a, almost resembles the same situation. What counsel have you for us who have difficulty trusting?
Of course it resembles the microcosm and the collective are absolute mirrors of one another. And I would be remiss if I did not reinforce and share with you that you have come to this beautiful planet in the time of such enormous upheaval and chaos that you are seeing and experiencing. This is not to diminish your experience. Quite the contrary. We bow to it. But that you have experienced such a breach, and to use your word, sweet angel, a breaking of trust. Now, let us go back a little further to what we would call prime reason. Why does it bother you? Why does it break your heart? Why does it make you shrivel up and go into that protective cocoon and make you say or feel or live, I am not going to trust anybody. Look around me. Who is there to trust? If you were not your essence embedded with the divine quality, the essence of trust, and the knowing that that is your GPS, it wouldn't bother you. It simply wouldn't bother you. You would think, well, that is the way that this planet or this universe operates. And you would continue in that vein. But it rips you to the core. Because you know, this isn't merely inspiration, this is the depth of soul knowing that this is not the way that you and the collective have been created. It is not your foundation. It is not your essence. And therefore, it feels like anathema. It feels like abomination. It feels so jarring. And sweet ones, it is intended to be jarring. It is intended to be those proverbial fingernails on the chalkboard. It is intended to rip you. Because that is telling you, that is informing you, that is catapulting you into a state of being, of knowing this is not of love. So, why proceed? Because you are trailblazers. Because you are laying down the new paradigm. Not just in an esoteric or theoretical sense. I want to speak to each of you who have had your trust and your heart ripped open and apart. because you are the ones that are the bravest, filled with valor, who put your heads down and say, no, this is not the way, because I know that this is wrong, that it is not in accordance. It is not in accordance with my plan, and it certainly isn't in accordance with the mother's plan. So the resolve and the healing is not to never trust. It is to resurrect the trust, to act, to be, to engage with yourself in trust, and to engage in trusting situations and with trustful people. So does it require a dual assumption of enormous discernment and of the assumption of your divine authority? Yes, it does. Because the pattern, the original pattern and the true pattern of trust is not apparent and obvious. So you are saying, and this is why we have in other conversations talked about the separations of pathways, you are saying, and I don't mean you just to the amorphous collective, I mean you, sweet angels of light, are saying, no, that is not how I choose to live. And yes, the healing is necessary. It is not something that can be skirted around. And it is deep and it is profound, and sometimes it feels like torture. But the healing is necessary. And then you say, I am not choosing to live that way. I am choosing to live, to associate with those who are trusting and trustful, and to create situations and paradigms practically that I can survive and thrive and live and be the fulfillment of the mother. So that you have already, let us give you the kudos where they are deserved. You have created community. You are the rebel forces that are saying, no, we won't continue in the promotion production, either in families or personal relationships or as societies, that operates on the assumption of abuse of power and breaking of trust. I won't live there. It does not mean that you were in denial. It does not mean that you do not send the healing and creation of something new. But it means that you are stepping away from that paradigm, because that will only destroy you.
Thank you, Lord. May I ask a question from a reader, please?
Of course.
Thank you. This question has been on my mind. It's been on others' minds. I don't know how to answer it, so I have to bring it to you. How can we prevent prices from rising after the reval, such that they negate the reval and subject the population to even greater poverty and suffering?
Think of what I have said to you, and I mean each of you, in terms of this trust and forging, quite literally, trailblazing a new path. Now, I am not suggesting that you don't need to have conscious concern where it is discerningly necessary. But why would you begin to even conceive and therefore energize what you are thinking of, my friend, as the worst case scenario. Now let us back up. What you think of and what is often termed the blessing, a blessing, Saint Germain's trust, all the names. First of all, why do you think that Saint Germain's trust has been kept secret and certainly at bay, except for a few who have been blessed here and there throughout the centuries? But by and large, why has it been kept at bay until such time, regardless of your anxiety and your eagerness, until such time as the capacity to truly affect change in the very minuscule and the very full sense of the word is possible? Now, do not think we have not heard your pleas for sure, but also your declarations of we are ready, we are ready. And then you look at the collective and you think, no, this climate is not quite there yet. But I do not wish to digress. One of the elements of this spiritual re-evaluation has been an element of low profile, of what some have called NDAs or secrecy. Some will abide for that, some will not. It matters not. But let us talk to this element of low profile. That is part of the reason. As you go forth in abundance of energy, however that is translated, it is not to create greater displacement. It is not to create obvious chaos in the pool called humanity. It is to take the energies, the money, whatever you conceive of, and begin to spend your energy and your funds in productive, healing ways. Under the radar. That is why there is such a low level. Now, those of you who have completely immersed yourself and really made this somewhat of a drama are so caught up in your drama that you can't think of anything but the worst case scenarios. Sweet angels, you are a minority and you are not controlling prices or expansion or escalation of goods and services. That is not the way that this plan is unfolding. Think of this. Think of your current state and how many, yes, you say, oh, it is a small number, how many billionaires, millionaires, and the haves as compared to the have-nots exist? And are they singularly responsible for the escalation of prices? No. They're not. It is an economy and the function of the collective that creates continual price escalation. But concomitant to that, there has been a rise in resources and availability. No, not for all, and that has been the problem. But it is simply not the plan. Now, when you say, how do you work? And how do you work with us? This speaks to the very core of that. Do not think that because you have a dollar in your pocket, that when you go to the store, they are going to demand $1.50 for a loaf of bread. When this huge escalation in prices has occurred in various situations, but let us look at post-World War II, where wheelbarrows of money were required for food because the currency became useless, valueless. The theme of that...
Excuse me a sec, Lord. Do you mean World War One? After World War One? Or did it happen after World War Two as well?
World War One and World War Two.
Okay, thank you.
And many of other wars in other areas where there is insufficient goods and insufficient currency, currency that has lost its value. Think of Vietnam, for example. So, you look at this. The key to this is not the value of the currency. The underlying motivator is punishment, is retribution, is the belief that if you squash and harm the collective consciousness of those people, that somehow they will submit. That is the key to these escalations. And that is not what is planned. Let us be very clear about that. Is this complete?
Yes, it is, Lord. And I think we've run out of time. Thank you for answering that question. I'll extend it and give it thought. And is there anything you want to say in closing?
You know, there is always something else I wish to say, whether it is beginning or closing.
Uh-huh.
So yes, it is. Allow yourself not only to be inspired by we who surround you and by your own precious GPS heart. Allow yourself to trust the smallest inspiration, the smallest blip on your internal radar system. Allow this trusting of your awareness, which is magnificent, to grow. So whether it is to buy oranges or apples, visit a shelter, or smile at a stranger, trust your beloved self. Trust yourself the way that you are trusted. Can you fathom the enormity of trust that the Mother has placed in each and every one of you? Mirror that, beloveds, and go forth, and go with my love. Farewell.
Thank you, Lord. Farewell.